Go for it.
The angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Thank you, Matthew. It'd be great if you keep that passage open, or find it, Revelation 3. And the first six verses. Jeff Hammer is going to preach to us today. He's recorded that sermon, and I'm going to play it now.
Well, let's pray as we start. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Father God, as we look at your word, we pray that you will give us ears to hear what your Spirit says to each of us today. For your name's sake, Lord. Amen. Well, today we're continuing our tour of the seven Mediterranean churches we find in Revelation 2 and 3. It'd be great if you've got your Bible open. The passage is printed on the service sheet. And if you're watching on YouTube, you might want to grab another device and follow the link on the website to the Bible passage. Well, last week we were at Thyatira, and today we're traveling 35 miles south to the city of Sardis. Now, Sardis was a city with a distinguished history. It was the capital of the ancient kingdom of Lydia. In the 6th century BC, it was ruled by Croesus, who was reputedly the richest man in the world. Sardis stood high above the Hermus Valley, and there was only one way into the city across a narrow strip of land, and on the other three sides there were sheer precipices. So when Cyrus the Persian besieged the city in 546 BC, Croesus felt pretty secure. A river ran through the city, they had water, they had food, there was only one way in. The city was easy to defend. Well, one night, Persian soldiers scaled the cliff face by night and climbed the walls and easily captured the largely unguarded city. So Sardis had a reputation for being impregnable, but when tested, it became literally a case of pride before a fall. And this complacency repeated itself about 400 years later, when Antiochus III also captured the city. Well, now under Roman power, the city continued to flourish commercially, and yet Sardis was a city living on its past reputation. The glory days of Croesus could never be recaptured. Well, look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, because as with the other letters, Jesus starts by reminding us of who he is. These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Now we know from chapter 1 verse 4 that the seven spirits is a description of the Holy Spirit. And we're told in chapter 1:20 that the seven stars are the churches, and Jesus holds both in his hands. Jesus doesn't judge by outward appearances. The Holy Spirit shows him exactly what is going on in each church. So firstly, the diagnosis. As we've seen from our series so far, each church is given a spiritual health check. In the previous letters, all the churches have received some sort of commendation from Jesus. They're getting something right before he moves on to their faults. Verse 1, I know your deeds. So what will Sardis be commended for? Answer, nothing. And Jesus, and devastating words from Jesus follow. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. As diagnoses go, it doesn't get much worse than that. You are dead. The church at Sardis didn't see themselves as dead. That's why Jesus had to write the letter. They thought they were alive. Grace Church Sardis had a great reputation with all the other churches in the area. There were no problems with false teaching like Christchurch Pergamum, no problems with immorality like Holy Trinity Thyatira. I mean, if there had have been, that would have tarnished their reputation. And they had a great reputation. It's in its rock-solid position, Sardis was a flagship church, strong, secure, a model for others. Oh, yeah, you ought to travel over to Grace Church Sardis. Oh, yeah, it's great preaching. It's a really lively church, yeah. But its reputation is based on its past. Jesus sees the present, and what he sees is this, a shell, an empty shell. Sardis looked successful, popular, busy, but Jesus says, you are dead. You look good on the outside, but you're just an empty shell. There's no life. There's no life on the inside. Now, if I asked you to picture a dead church, what would come to mind? Maybe a gloomy, dusty old building, notice board with out-of-date notices, a congregation of just a few very senior citizens. If I asked you to picture a church that was alive, what would come to mind? Maybe a large congregation, lots of young families, uplifting music, well-organized preaching, slick website. Well, actually, who's to say which one is alive? Activity is not the same as life. Remember our shell. It looks good on the outside, but there's no life on the inside. So what about Grace Church Highlands, our church? Well, we're rightly proud of our Bible teaching tradition in our Sunday services, children's and youth groups, and midweek groups. We've been led by two well-respected ministers, Waddy and now Jonathan. They network with other respected clergy. They go to the right conferences. We have a congregation of servant-hearted and hard-working people. All our activities are done as well as they possibly could be. We're proud of our fun days and our outdoor services, community cafes, jazz barbecues, sports quizzes, cafe carols, English for You, youth football. But as we've seen, activity is not the same as life. The danger is that we could probably keep all that going in our own strength. Is our reputation built on what we have been or what we are now? And what about our Christian lives? We might be busy. We might be active in church life. But is there a danger? We just do it all in our own strength. We can get the job done whether we're prayerful about it or not. Is our reputation as a Christian for what we did then or for who we are now? Again, as we've seen, activity is not life. Remember our empty shell. Jesus sees the now. He's not distracted by the past. Sardis thought it was impregnable. The reality proved to be different. As a church, as individuals, is our past reputation a present reality? So firstly, the diagnosis in this spiritual health check. You are dead. We now move on, secondly, to the treatment. Now, we know that Jesus is the one who can raise the dead. He did it with Jairus' daughter and with Lazarus. Well, Jesus is also able to raise the spiritually dead. The treatment that Jesus prescribes involves a five-point plan. Treatment one, verse two, wake up. Sardis fell because those who should have been active and alert were complacent and asleep. Jesus says, wake up to the danger you are in. The instruction to wake up appears 23 times in the New Testament. Wake up to the attacks of the devil, to the need to keep praying, because Jesus is returning. Wake up. So are we awake? we might have a pattern of Christian activity that ticks all the boxes, that looks good to those around us. But does it satisfy Jesus, the Lord we claim to serve? Our inclination is to say, oh, it's all okay, it's fine, it's fine. But Jesus says, wake up. Treatment two, strengthen. Verse two, strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Yes, it all looks good on the outside, but there's something missing. It's unfinished. The externals are in place. The meetings look good. The lifestyles avoid flagrant disobedience and sin. But there's something missing. It's unfinished. There's no pressing on with Jesus, no persevering, no hunger for righteousness. Jesus says, strengthen what remains. Otherwise, even those externals will die. Treatment three, remember. Verse three, remember therefore what you have received and heard. Get back to basics. Get back to the gospel and remember how you came to faith. How you met the person of Jesus. How he died on the cross to free us from the condemnation of our sin, that our sin and rebellion deserved. How the tomb was gloriously empty 3 days later. How the risen Jesus empowers us to live for him through the power of his Spirit. Remember, it's been said that the gospel is not just the way into the Christian life, it's the way on in the Christian life. Get back to basics. Jesus says, remember. Treatment four, verse three, hold it fast. Now, if someone's birthday is coming up and you always get them a card, when the day comes, nothing happens, no card. Well, you've not really remembered because there was no action. It was just a sort of vague recollection. In the Bible, to remember is to act, to do something about it, hold it fast. The older NIV version says obey. You see, the danger is that we say, oh yeah, I used to believe all that sort of evangelical stuff, you know, to be one of those sort of Bible-y type Christians. But that was all a bit naive, really. I've sort of moved on. But Jesus says, make his priorities your priorities once again. Love, faith, service. Hold it fast. Obey. And to do that, we need treatment five. Verse three, repent. The church at Sardis needs a change of mind, a change of direction, to turn itself from drifting towards death and to start living for Jesus once again. Jesus says, change direction, repent. So Jesus gives us a 5-point treatment plan. Wake up, strengthen, remember, hold it fast, repent. Now, a doctor can prescribe the treatment, but we have to take the medicine to follow the 5-point plan. The alternative is disaster. Look at verse 3. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. He will come in a surprise visit of judgment. Just as invaders came in the night to a casual and carelessly unguarded Sardis. So we've had firstly the diagnosis, secondly the 5-point treatment plan. And now we have thirdly, the prognosis. What can we expect the outcome to be if we follow the 5-point treatment plan? Well, there's some good news. The church is not completely dead. Verse 4, yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. Jesus finds a few who have resisted the pressure to compromise and become complacent. There's a spark that can be fanned into a flame. Jesus makes three promises to those who remain faithful. Firstly, friendship, verse 4, they will walk with me. There are echoes here of Genesis 3:8, God walking in the garden with Adam and Eve. There's the promise of friendship with Jesus. Secondly, the promise of purity, verse 4, they will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. White robes are a picture of holiness and righteousness. Later in Revelation, there is a picture of robes being made white by being washed in the blood of the Lamb. The only way to be worthy of heaven is to trust, not in our own moral goodness, but in Christ's death on the cross. Verse 5 makes it clear that those who trust him can join the ranks of the victorious. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. So if we trust in the blood of the Lamb, this can be you and me. And no past failure or compromise, no relying on empty reputation need deprive us of this, the promise of purity. And thirdly, the promise of security. Verse 5, I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life. Now, ancient cities would keep a register of citizens, and those who proved unworthy could have their names removed. Well, we can have our names on all sorts of lists and memberships, but the one that really matters is the Book of Life. Those who wake up will never have their name blotted out of the Book of Life. It's not just written in pen. You see, it's written with one of these, with a Sharpie. It's indelible, and it can get even better than having our name written there with a Sharpie. Verse 5, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. See, those who stay awake, who acknowledge publicly that they belong to Jesus, can be sure he will acknowledge in God's presence that they are his. Oh, yeah, she's mine, Father. Oh, no, and he's mine. Yes, he's mine, Father. So, the prognosis. There can be a positive outcome for those who follow the five-point plan. Friendship, purity, security. So, some final thoughts and challenges as we close. What does the Lord of the Church see as he looks at us? He longs to see us pressing on, persevering in our hunger for righteousness. Not just drifting, carried along by our church's reputation. Not living a double life, one thing on Sunday, something else Monday to Saturday. We need to remember it doesn't matter what others say about us. We can easily be fooled by the reputation of our church. We can easily be fooled by our own reputation as a Christian. What matters is Jesus' assessment of us as he looks at our hearts. And Jesus says, wake up, strengthen, remember, hold it fast, repent. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's pray together. Dear Father God, help us to receive the challenge of this letter. If we're sleepy, wake us up. Help us to remember the things we need to recall, to repent of the things that compromise us. Thank you for the glorious promise of white robes, that we can walk with you, that our name will never be blotted out of the book of life. For your glory's sake, amen.
If you're watching on YouTube and that's given you a lot to think about, well, please get in touch. You'd be really welcome to do that. We're so glad to have you with us. In a moment, we're going to stop the recording. Do get in touch. And if you'd like to join us for the rest of the service sometime on Zoom, you'd be really welcome. Let me close this part with a prayer of God's blessing. Thinking again about the shepherd. Christ, the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, draw you and all who hear his voice to be one flock within one fold. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.